All right. I'm going to be using this a little bit tonight, so hopefully you'll be able to see it. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this evening over to Romans chapter 10. So on Tuesdays, we have a group Bible study, and what I've started doing, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, with my Bible studies is we go through a chapter a week in the New Testament. And it kind of depends. Usually we start with John and then kind of pick up some books here and there. And we've been working through Romans. And one of the things that I try to do with these is to give you the general overview. Because especially people who haven't read the Bible a lot or at all, it's a good introduction. You know, have them read it, ask them if there's anything that jumps out at them, if they have any questions. And this particular one that I want to talk about tonight actually came up in our study last week and went out to a couple of other subjects that I wanted to cover a little bit tonight. So this is a little bit more of a teaching message and a little bit less of a preaching one. But the message here will come from Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, I know that all of you here, at least as far as I can tell, know what this means. But what we discussed in our study was, well, how do we know what this means? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? And so that's what I want to cover tonight. So before we begin, let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, great King, we thank you so much for Christ. We thank you so much for the word that you've blessed us with. We thank you for its clarity and also for its depth. We thank you too, Lord, for the opportunity to get together, that we can sing praises to your name and enjoy the fellowship of the saints while we break bread, Lord. It really is a wonderful blessing and one that I pray we place proper importance upon. Thank you too, Lord, for the gift of prayer. It is really so pivotal in our growth as individuals, and it has been shown over and over again to those that are faithful to it, the power and the change that it can elicit. So thank you again so much for the gift of prayer. I ask that you help us to learn well from your word tonight. Pray that you be with me to bring forth this message in a way that is able to accomplish its purpose. Thank you again so much for Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so how many of you have ever been in a Bible study or had a conversation with somebody and the person that you are discussing the issue of salvation with brings up this verse? Go ahead and raise your hand if you've ever had this brought up. Okay. And you don't have to raise your hands in this particular portion of it. But how many of you are confident that you can explain what he means? Okay, you don't have to raise your hands. Thanks, though. I appreciate you doing it. Well, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up tonight, because I remember, I don't know how long ago I first saw this particular, this illustrated this way, but it stuck with me, and I'm very appreciative of it because I've used it many times. So back here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, one of the interesting things about this is that, as you can tell, it being in all caps, that means that it was quoted from the Old Testament, right? Okay, well, we're going to go back to that here in just a minute. But we want to focus on the word call tonight. The word call is a Greek word. It has many letters. I have written out in about 15 different ways, and I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce it because I will slaughter it. But for your information, it is Strong's number G1941. If you like strong stuff, that's what it's for. All right. So if you really want to dig into this a little bit, it comes from the middle voice from G1909 and G2564. It means to entitle, by implication to invoke, for aid, worship, testimony, decision, etc. Okay, another way that this word is often translated is the word appeal. Okay, so all the other stuff you can pretty much forget it. Just remember that this word call is often translated as appeal. And so if you really dig into it a little bit, I am not a Greek expert, nor am I a Hebrew expert, nor am I a Spanish expert, and I have a mild grasp on the English language, so I'm relying very heavily on those who claim to be experts. But it's interesting because it basically means to appeal to someone, to call upon someone, and to do so in a way that would be asking something, which makes sense, right? So, as mentioned, this word can be translated as appeal. So I want to look at another instance where Paul uses this word. So remember, the letter of Romans is written by Paul to the church in Rome. So let's go over to Acts chapter 25. And what you'll notice here is in these verses, Acts chapter 25, Paul will use the same Greek word here, that 1941, here a couple of times, or it's recorded here a couple of times, by Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. I want to start here in verse 6. So Acts chapter 25, beginning in verse 6. Now, just to set the stage here a little bit, Paul is basically making his rounds and through the courts, if you will, and he is making his appeal and his defense before Festus. So in verse 6, it starts out after he had spent, that he is Festus. So after Festus had spent not more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea. And on the next day, he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. After Paul arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove. While Paul said in his own defense, I have committed no offense either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal, that's the same word, to Caesar. Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. So there's a couple of things that we can learn out of this particular passage. And one of those is that when Paul makes an appeal to Caesar, basically what he's doing, it's an illustration of Paul's willing submission and obedience to Caesar. If you want to be more specific, he's actually talking more about the Roman law, but Caesar was the general term for that. So he was making it, think of it like this. Actually, it's probably a more fitting analogy than it was a while ago. But one might say Caesar to represent Rome and the Roman law, and one might say Uncle Sam to relate to, don't roll your eyes. And one might say Uncle Sam to refer to, well, what's left of our constitution and government. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. So anyway, he's appealing to Caesar. He's appealing to the Roman law. That was funny. Thank you. So he's appealing to the Roman law, which granted Roman citizens the right to a trial before the court. And he says, this is where I should be trialed. So notice, or tried. This is, notice that he says, I appeal. Okay? That's the word that we're looking at here. So let's jump back to Romans chapter 10. Actually, you don't have to go to Romans chapter 10. I'll give you time to get to Joel chapter 2. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul is actually quoting the Old Testament Joel, specifically out of Joel chapter 2. I will give you a moment to get there. I always have, well, not always, but I usually have to sing the Old Testament song to get all the minor prophets, right? Yeah, that's right. Mr. Tool's going to lead us in a roaring rendition of it. All right, Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read just verse 32, just the first portion of that. That sounds very familiar. And it says, "And it came about that whoever, and it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered." That sounds familiar, right? Certainly, we read it in Romans chapter 10. You may remember it having been quoted in other places. But in order to help kind of clue you in a little bit on what I'm talking about, let's back up to verse 28. Start here in verse 28. It says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved," or will be delivered, excuse me. "For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even amongst the survivors whom the Lord calls." Now, that might sound a little bit more familiar. There was actually another New Testament writer who wrote down what another New Testament person, prophet, was saying when he quoted this. Anybody know where that's at besides the normal guys? Acts chapter 2. Oh, thanks. Acts chapter 2. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2. This probably sounds familiar because this was the passage that Peter is quoting during a rather important and pivotal time in the history of, well, I guess we can say the early church. Okay? So, starting in about Acts chapter 2, starting about verse 14, we'll go ahead and read these real quickly. It says, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel.'" And then he goes on and he quotes that same passage that we just read out of Joel chapter 2. Jump up to verse 21, it's the last portion of that, and he says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, if you were to go back to the Joel chapter 2 passage, the word call, or calls, and this one's easy, is kara. I can pronounce that one. It's Strong's H7122. It means to call out. Again, that is to properly address someone by name. This word is used many times throughout the Old Testament, and in Hebrew, of course, and it's in a lot of different applications. But the word essentially means what it says, to basically call someone out, okay? So, what we see here happening in Acts chapter 2 is that when Luke records the rest of Peter's sermon, in which he concludes with a call to repentance and immersion for forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, he's making a connection between calling on the name of the Lord and the important considerations of repentance and immersion. We'll come back to this passage here in just a little bit. So I want to look at one more instance where this word is used in order to help illuminate, if you will, the meaning and the usage. Let's jump over to Acts chapter 22. Now this word, by the way, this Greek word,
I'm
terrible at Greek. So anyway, Acts chapter 22, which does also sound very familiar to you, as I'm sure many of you know. Verse 16, he says, okay, everybody pretty much knows this, but I'll explain it real quickly. But this is, of course, when Paul is in Jerusalem at the temple. He has making his defense before the Jews after he's been arrested for his own protection because the Jews were going to mob him. And so he has the opportunity to speak. He asks for the opportunity to speak to the crowd that's gathered there. And then he begins to explain what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And more importantly, what he heard when he got into Damascus, when the gospel was explained to him, when he heard it, listened to it, understood it, and obeyed it. Okay, and this is what he can kind of concludes with. Verse 16, he says, "Now why?" This is Ananias speaking to Paul. "Now why do you delay? Get up and be immersed and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Now, it's not the exact same Greek word. It's just a different form of it. Just like call and calling are not the exact same word. They're just different forms. Okay, so same root word, of course. So, in light of these verses, we can ask the question, and now hopefully answer it, how does one call on the name of the Lord according to the gospel? This is where the board comes in handy. I am, as most of you probably are, a very visual thinker. I have a weird job title. I'm a process improvement specialist. Put that on a resume and try to explain it. but actually, I'm essentially a data analyst. That's essentially what I do. I look at groups of data and I try to make sense out of it. So I am a trained analytical thinker. That helps in all my relationships. I'm just going to write a couple of things down here because I'm a visual thinker and this really helped me. So we're going to write down Acts chapter 2. 21, you know what, I'm going to need a lot more space than that, or I'm going to have to write really small so you can't see it. So, let's go like this. This is from the book of Acts. And this is verse 2, 21, and then 2, 38. Now, we're going to compare a couple of these. So, we're going to write the words in here to help explain how we call on. Yes, I'll just dot, 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 because it'll take me forever to write that neatly. All right, so let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 21. And I'm going to break this out in a way that I think we can line these up and give you a visual representation of how these two verses overlap. So the Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So, we're going to put to who, or who should do the calling? In this case, everyone. Oh boy, I'm going to run out of space. Okay, so that's the person, right? Everyone. And I'm going to leave out a couple of words for the sake of space here. Who calls, okay, on the name of the Lord, and what's the final result? Shall be saved. That's right. Shall be saved. Okay. So that's Acts 2:21. We've kind of broken this out into its individual components. We understand that the verse is very clear. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if we go over and we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we can do the same thing using that particular verse. So, to whom is he speaking? He says, "Repent, and each of you." So we have to kind of flip this around a little bit, but it is each of you. Any similarity there? Everyone and each of you? Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Whew. He must be a data analyst too. All right. Now, we're going to skip a little bit. We're going to skip this one for just a moment. Okay, we're going to go to the last two because those are easy, right? So, on the name of the Lord in Acts 2:38, what do you get there? In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I have a dotted R. There we go. Okay. And then Well, it's the last part. Okay? Now I'm just going to write for the, if you can read this, it's getting small and messier, forgiveness of sins. Okay. So what goes there? Okay, what else? Repent. Okay. When you break it out this way, and when Peter quotes Joel, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he wraps up his message, which each of you repent and be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I flip that around, repent and be immersed, right? It begins to make a lot of sense that we can now define how one, or explain how one calls on the name of the Lord. So, this is really helpful for me. I don't know if it's helpful for you, but it's helpful for me. Okay, so, back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, now when you read through this, and he says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hopefully in your mind, you remember that calls also means appeal, okay? And that this same verse is quoted in Acts chapter 2, and that Peter equates it to repenting and being immersed. Now, that word appeal is an interesting one. There's one other verse that appeal is used. There's many other verses, but one other one in particular that I find very interesting in light of our discussion. How about we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3? Now, I want to caution you, this is not the exact same word, but it has some interesting connections here. This is a great verse. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Didn't you read this as well? Okay, you did. All right. So, Peter, well, I find it rather interesting. Who spoke in 2:21? Peter, okay. Same guy in 38? Okay. Just want to check. Same guy here. 1 Peter 3:21, he says, corresponding to that, immersion now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Now, this word, appeals, in 1 Peter, is not the same exact Greek word. But here's what's interesting about this particular word. It basically means to make an appeal. It makes to inquire or to ask properly, to ask appropriately. And it is done, now listen to this. This word is used, and this is how it's explained. It is done by someone on preferred footing who makes a request from a preferred position. Okay, maybe I'm geeking out a little bit more on this than the average person, maybe, but this is, okay, before I get there, okay. You're going to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, let's use an example. I'm trying to think of somebody that we would all want to call. somebody important, maybe in a high office in the country, and we might want to call and have a chat with that person. You're not going to just pick up the phone and dial the house. This is so-and-so, I want to talk to you. Okay, how many of you have ever been to Washington, D.C.? Okay, yeah, any of you ever toured the White House? Oh, cool. Drew, oh yeah, it's perfect. (Clears throat) Was this pre-Christ or? Okay, good. Now, I've been to the White House. I won't pick on Drew. I've been to the White House. I actually had dinner with a president when I was in high school. We had the opportunity to go and visit. It was fun. I was a screaming liberal because I didn't own anything. And I didn't know any better. But, yeah, I was young. But here's the thing. For us to do that, we had to go through all sorts of protocols. We went through metal detectors. Well before we even got the opportunity to do so, we had a background check. We had to have letters of reference from our senators. I mean, it was a big deal. We had to raise the funds to pay for our own way there. It wasn't just like I showed up at the White House and, hey, Bill, how you doing? Okay? What's my point? My point is that if you're going to call from a preferred footing or a preferred position, you've got to do some things first. So when someone calls on the name of the Lord by repenting and being immersed, they are calling upon the Lord's justice from the preferred position, knowing that they have done what the Lord has asked. Because you notice, when you do this, you shall be saved, and you do this, you will get the forgiveness of sins, and by the way, get the little bonus there, the indwelling Holy Spirit. So by appealing to the Lord from a preferred footing because you've obeyed the message of the gospel, you are calling on the name of the Lord. And by the way, this Greek word used in 1 Peter 3:21, it's G1905, is the word that Jesus regularly uses for making requests to the Father. Wow, that's cool. Huh. So, calling on the name of the Lord, as I've hopefully illustrated here, is done by repenting of your sins and being immersed, and in so doing, we make a call from a preferred position in obedience to the one who saves. That's all I got. Thanks for your time.